Securities and advisory services through Independent Financial Group, LLC, a registered broker-dealer and investment advisor member, FINRA/SIPC.
Good morning, everybody. Dennis O'Brien here with the Retirement Life and Investing Show on 94.9 FM. How's everybody doing today? I hope you're driving around doing your errands or whatever you're up to. I hope you're having a wonderful, wonderful weekend. The weather looks good, and God bless everybody out there. Anybody, this is where the smart, quiet planners, retire millionaires, and the flamboyant, showy types are still working in the local store in Florida in their 70s. Welcome to the Retirement Life and Investing Show, where we try to help you get going with your life. Seriously, though, my name is Dennis O'Brien. I'm your host on the Retirement Life and Investing Show here on 94.9 FM News Now. My company, O'Brien Retirement Investment Group, is located at Exit 90, down from Steak Loft in the Taylor Realty Building, next to the gas station. It sounds so local. Our mission is to help anybody who asks, although if they're serious about changing their life for the better. As a famous quote says, I've been rich and I've been poor, and rich is better. How does that be for being original, huh? Sometimes when I go to church, I constantly hear diatribes against being wealthy and how being poor is morally superior to being wealthy. And I want to talk about that because it's bothered me for years, and I kind of trying to get my head around it, why the Bible is so against wealth. Well, but when the Bible was written, society was more static. And the station you were born into was probably where you were going to wind up. You increase your assets by joining the army and plundering. Many given lands were not yours, like Cromwell's soldiers were given in Ireland and even here in the colonies. To the conqueror goes the spoils, so they say. Being useful to the ruler or king did not hurt, and many of his court were favored with land and estates. The third way is old as mankind. Marry it. Yay! Some did and worked out well, and some not so well. Although most families know this and want their offspring to marry even more wealth than they have, so I don't think they're looking for someone poor just because you seem like a nice guy or a nice gal. Well, that was the way of the world until capitalism came along, born overseas but put on steroids here in the fledgling colonies that became the United States of America. Capitalism and individualism were admired and sought after by the American people. Now, if you wish and follow my Millionaire 10 Commandments, anyone, and I mean anyone, with enough desire, discipline, and smarts can become a millionaire without plundering, kissing royalty you-know-what, or marrying it. Hence, when I read parts of the Bible writers' contempt of wealth, I would ask them if our system, which created more wealth, more jobs, more innovation, more health, more life, more standard of living, by a nation founded and grounded in the belief of God, which manifests itself through huge charitable efforts that go on throughout our land, do you really think our wealth or the seeking of it is wrong and sinful? No, as long as we give back and help others and do not lie, cheat, or steal, then the Lord wants us to do well and help and love our neighbors as ourselves, and that's a good thing. What country has helped more countries around the world than the U.S. of A.? What country is constantly offering aid to those who have disasters? What country wants everybody to succeed? What country welcomes people from all nations to come and prosper? Ask an immigrant about his or her home country, and they will tell you the reason they came to America is for freedom and a better life for their children and families. That's why Jack O'Brien, my pops, got on a propeller plane in 1949 and came to stay with his cousins, the Fallons in Queens. He'd heard as a child on the farm in County Roscommon, that the streets in America were paved with gold. He always laughed. I always laughed when he said it years later. Hardest working man I ever knew. He grew up on a farm, very, very strong in a very, very skinny way. He wasn't one of these big muscle guys, but he was probably the strongest man, pound for pound, I ever met. He eventually became a pressman with the New York Times, and he did very, very well, raising six kids. He had a saying that I always remembered, a fool and his money will soon part. And I always laughed. I just love the rhythm rhyme of it. but as you grew older, I saw a lot of fools part with their money. And me on me occasionally did too, you know. But his saying always resonates in my head as I walk through one of the gambling halls. Fool and his money will soon part. So how would Jack O'Brien, my father, define a fool with money? He never did say, but I'll take a stab at it in the context of my Ten Commandments of Becoming a Millionaire. The Ten Commandments of Becoming a Millionaire are, number one, save automatically. Jack O'Brien would agree with that. You got to put some money away. Now, my lady, Karen Etchells from Innovast Marketing, put up a piece the other day on my Facebook business page, and I loved it. I thought about it, and it's the 50-30-20 rule. And here you go. 50% of your money goes to stuff, your regular bills that you have to pay just to keep everything going. 30% goes to discretionary spending, going to the movies, going to dinner, you know, this and that, everyday life. Discretionary. You could cut it back, but this is what you allocated. 50, 30, and the 20%, guess what that goes to? Automatic savings, yes. And if you follow that rule, you follow that rule, you have achieved the main number one first commandment of becoming a millionaire, and the most important, okay? Number two, Jack O'Brien would agree with this. 15-year mortgage, not a 30-year, a 15-year mortgage. Pay that house down quick. Your home usually is number one or number two in retirement in terms of your net worth. Number three, and Jack O'Brien was definitely a believer in this, pay cash for everything. Avoid debt. Now, back in the day, I remember going into the bank with my dad, and checking accounts weren't really as widespread as they are today. So he would go in with cash and pay the $165 mortgage at the local SNL with cash. With cash. And he would pay the electric bill and the whatever bill he had, and everything would be paid that day, usually with cash. So I was like, all right, you know, that's not happening these days, but that's something you should be aware of, and everything else. Number four, any purchases must be saved for. Control your impulses. You want to buy a new car? Start saving. You want to buy a boat? Start saving. You just don't go out and buy things on time. That was a no-no back in the day. Our grandfathers, my father, you did not do that. You paid cash and you saved your money. And if you didn't have the cash, you didn't buy it. I know that's a radical concept to many of you out there. But tell your kids and grandkids, this is the way it used to be and this is the way it should be. Okay? Absolutely. And you can buy a very nice car these days for $5,000. Get a used little Toyota or a little Honda or run forever. So don't be aware of that. Anyway, if you'd like my retirement 10 commandments, you'd like my retirement 10 commandments for becoming a millionaire, or you'd just like to make an appointment and sit down and chat so we can review your stuff, give me a ring during the week at 860-415-9614 or go to my website, www.obrienretire.com, or you can email me at dobrien@ifgrr.com. We'll be back in a few minutes when we're going to do the other 5-10 commandments of becoming a millionaire and a lot of other thoughts on the way. We'll be back in a few. Thanks. Retirement Life and Investing Show. Your retirement, your life, your investing. No matter how old you are, we want you to retire wealthier than poorer. Is that a good way to put it? Anyway, welcome to the Retirement Life and Investing Show here on 94.9 FM. My name is Dennis O'Brien. I'm the host and owner of O'Brien Retirement Investment Group, exit 90 down from Steak Loft in Mystic, Connecticut. And we were talking about the 10 commandments of becoming a millionaire. Number one, save automatically. Number two, get a 15-year mortgage instead of 30-year. Number three, pay cash for everything, avoid debt. Number four, any purchases must be saved for. Control your impulses. Okay, number five, always raise your savings either in or out of the 401k 1 to 2% a year. This is really smart because say you're 25-year-old, you're first starting out, they'll give you 3, you put in 5. Next year, put in 7. Year after, put in 9. Keep creeping it up till you get to 20%. So you get your raises and your bonuses and all that. Just keep raising your savings rate each year. So by the time you're in your 40s, you're maxing out. You're putting money away outside there, and you basically have got into the habit of doing it because this Dave Ramsey explains it very, very well. He goes, becoming a millionaire is 20% knowledge and 80% behavior. And you know behavior is once you get locked into a habit, you'll stick with it. So a lot of this is behavioral. So when I talk to people and work with them and when they open the account, I urge them to do automatic savings when they open the account. If you give me $100,000 and I'm going to put it in income stuff for you, if you can, please start sending me $500, $1,000, whatever you can afford a month automatically. I can take it. I prefer you to, if you pay your bills on the computer, to make a check out to Pershing LLC, send it to care of O'Brien Retirement. I take a picture. It's in the Pershing account, and it automatically starts to build, and then you get the dividends. You got the automatic investing, and I digress. But that's very, very important. Number six, calculate your current savings rate. So you make 100 grand a year. You're putting 10% of your 401k. They're matching 5. You get you up to 15%. If you do $1,000 a month, that's another 12%. That's 27% a year, your savings rate. That's darn good. That's great, okay? That's over the 50-30-20 rule, which was 20% savings rate. And once you get in that habit, it's behavioral. You'll keep doing it, and you'll like it. You'll get hooked on it. So instead of getting hooked on the spending, which everyone seems to want you to do, they're not your friends. That pretty lady on the credit card ad, she's not your friend. That banker that wants to overlend you money, he's not your friend. Your friend is the people that want to help you raise your savings rate and do a good job that way. So calculate out your savings rate. I don't care if it's 0. I don't care if it's 2%. Calculate it out and make it a game to raise it. And once you make it a game and a goal to raise it, your behaviors will change. Okay, so it's very important to think about that. Number 7, consider buying, once you start doing this, okay, and you start with income stuff, that's fine. If you're younger and you want to start with growth, consider buying good quality growth stocks and avoid excessive trading. Now, determining which investments are appropriate for you as an individual will depend on your objectives and risk tolerance. So it should be discussed carefully and we'll figure out where you're at. But I'm a very good judge when you come in and asking questions on whether I perceive you to be an income or a growth investor. And sometimes I don't know, and I'll always err on the side of being cautious, okay? Number 8, be generous with your time. You're doing well. You got a high savings rate. You got no debt or little or no debt. Be generous with your time. Listening and helping others is not all about you. So try to help people, even if you're doing well, okay? Because you'll find that good karma is good karma, and boy, it spreads. And bad karma, yeah, that'll get you too. And I'm a big believer in that. I'm very superstitious. Number 9, teach your children about these credit card solicitations. I tell the old timers that I talk to around town, I said, when you were 18, you weren't being hit with 4, 5, 6 credit card solicitations a week. You didn't know what a credit card was. Remember my dad paying cash, the local S? Nobody used credit cards back in the day. They are hammering the kids with these credit cards. They're hammering these kids with this college debt burdens and overbuying a home. The bank, they'll lend the max out, everything's so short-term oriented, these people that are trying to lend you money. They don't care about your net worth and what you're trying to do, okay? And don't even start me on the college thing. You saw the big disaster this week. This stuff's been going on forever. And I know college admissions. People come to my office and tell me stuff about college admissions, and I've seen that for years. I knew about what these people were doing and everything else. Good. I'm glad it's coming out. And I hope the colleges don't go scot-free because they knew all about it and they went along with it. And so be aware of that. Number 10, this is my personal preference. You don't have to do it, but travel. See the world. Boy, you'll appreciate your country a lot better when you come back, I'll tell you right now. I love seeing the sights everywhere I've gone in the world, and I've traveled a bit. But when I come home, I go, thank God, Jack O'Brien, you got on that propeller plane in 49. Thank you, Dad. Thank you, up in heaven. You see, the concepts and thoughts are timeless. They never really change. My father knew poverty, but never really was affected by it in terms of his work ethic. The way he looked at it was one of his other sayings, which was, you earn your bread by the sweat of your brow. Now, some of you old-timers are shaking your head because you've heard this saying. You're younger, you might not have heard it. You earn your bread by the sweat of your brow. Now, these days, it's not always physical labor. It's also mental labor. But it's really about the commitment to get the job done no matter what it takes, what you call work ethic. Some want to take it the easy way out, but you know that never really works out that way. The road to success is always littered with failures as you learn. This show is trying to help you give value to all to speed up the success that you can have if you just follow the Ten Commandments of becoming a millionaire. So how are the markets these days? The stock market internals, I'm telling you, they are so strong internally. The soldiers are on the field. Nobody's left the field. They're just waiting for the next bit of good news. Rates are down. Oil is down. The Fed has backed off. After 8 rate increases, the Fed has backed off. There's some softness out there, but more outside the U.S. The Japanese just announced this week they're putting more plants in manufacturing in the U.S., but down in the non-union states, down south. But that's just, you know, they're not going to put stuff up here because the cost, okay? I know you guys get mad at me, but that's just the way it is, okay? And you could say, oh, they don't have real economies down there. They're catching up. Speaking of which, since Governor Lamont's budget came out, the groundswell I'm hearing about moving out of state has reached a fevered pitch in the conversations I'm hearing in my office and around town. And many of are retired teachers and state workers who say they can't afford to stay in the state. So how's that for irony for you? I hear Florida, South Carolina, New Hampshire as the preferred destinations. Not the only ones, but the preferred ones I hear. The slowdown in the world economy is helping my income portfolios, which have been getting a lot of new money, coming from riskier appreciation portfolios as well as bank money looking for a higher return. These are investments, too, so treat them accordingly. They are not bank savings. They can go up and down, although the history suggests they don't go up and down as much as, you know, heavy-duty growth millennial stocks. I revamped my website a little bit, so go to obrienretire.com to take a look. I added some questionnaires. I added a 2019 tax table. Thank you to a local CPA who let me borrow it from his website. And an updated sample of the Nutshell Report, as well as my interview with Lisa Carberg of Carberg Communications when we did a Facebook Live, which is posted under Media. I also started a new podcast channel, which is on all the major channels. It's just basically the show on my website, but you can listen to it anywhere. And the millennials, when they're walking around town, somebody under 40, and they got the earbuds in their ear and stuff, used to be back in the day they were listening to music, but now a lot of them are listening to podcasts, and they listen to them at work, they listen to them walking around, they listen to them exercising. So a lot of them told me you need a podcast channel to go to. So guess what? Thanks to Brad Cable out in California, my web guy, I now have a podcast distribution. It's the same thing as the radio show on the website, but it's just I'll try to add a show every week or so, but you can listen to it anytime, any place, in your car, walking around town. Mutual funds sure can be tricky. I got a mutual fund story for you. A new client showed me their statements. Now, one account had an Invesco fund, and one account had a Templeton fund, and they were both growth funds. You know, they were in stocks, okay? So as I went in and I started researching the two funds because they're transferring in, and I've got to decide whether how much I want to hold of them, continue holding them, diversify away, how much, whether I should just sell it all just because I don't like what they're doing or what they're in. The Invesco fund had a compounded return for the last 5 years of almost 12%. The Templeton fund had a growth rate of the last 5 years of 2.75. Wow. 12 to 2. I mean, that's pretty widespread, guys. So what was going on here? So I went into the portfolios, and I could tell why right away. The Invesco fund had all my millennial stocks, okay? Had all the new millennial stocks, and as you know, they've gone way up. They corrected big in the last quarter. The Templeton had a very weird mixture of foreign stuff with, you know, it's just a very, very weird mixture, and it wasn't something that I would want to go into. And anyway, Sir John Templeton was a great long-term investor, but he's long gone now, so who knows who's running the shop right now? Well, we'll see. But they used to have great long-term numbers, and I don't know if they still do or not. Anyway, come on back to the Retirement Life Investing Show. If you'd like to make an appointment, go to www.obrienretired.com, and we're more than happy to help you. Talk to you in a few. Thanks. Retirement Life and Investing Show, your retirement, your life, your investing. This is Dennis O'Brien, president of O'Brien Retirement Investment Group in Mystic, Connecticut. Hoping you're having a great day, and let's get back to the show. In any case, we were still seeing a lot of annuities bought 10 or 12 years ago with very high fees and very tepid growth, sometimes less than 2% a year. It's not good when the fees are higher than the return, guys. So take a look if you got any old annuities out there. Bring them in and let's take a look and see if they're doing what they were sold at, which is very rare, I might add. I was very touched this week when a couple came in and reviewing their portfolios. He said to me that he thinks in case he goes first, he wants his wife to have someone she can rely on. I hid my emotion, but it really touched me because from my side of the desk, you can't be paid a higher compliment. And I mean that because it's a wonderful thing when someone turns to you and says, something happens to me, I want you to help my spouse. You know, because if that spouse was taking care of majority of the investment money decisions, they want their spouse to have help. And you could just see how close they were. And it's just a wonderful thing. I got a referral this week from a client whose friend is going through a nasty divorce and she needs help. And she said probably first few months just a shoulder to cry on because she knows how patient I am, so I'm ready to help. And I'll be honest with you, at 62, I'm much more worldly wise than I was at 32, okay? I don't know if I would have come to me at 32 with this situation. But at 62, you change. You learn. You've seen things. You've heard things. And the biggest bit of wisdom I think you pick up at 62 is you know this will pass, you know, and sometimes you don't have know that feeling in your 20s and 30s, but it will pass. You will get better. You will rise again. And many times, and this is the thing I find so ironic, wonderful, mysterious about life is when the most horrible, horrible thing happens to you, you're cheated on or someone lies about you or you're fired from your job or even your business goes into failure, something horrible happens to you. If you hang in there and learn from it and keep your family and friends close and keep an optimistic attitude, many times, 2, 3, 4, 5 years out, life just becomes wonderful because what happens is that as you go through those bad times, I think life becomes much sweeter because you appreciate things so much more than when you've always had success. When everything's been easy peasy, you know, you don't really appreciate it. But when you get into the, you know, the drop, when things have been really bad and really tough, and when you start to circle out, you realize how really sweet life can be. I tell you, no matter how bad things are right now for you, things will get better. They will get better, and you will appreciate them a zillion times more, a zillion times more. So if this lady needs a shoulder to cry on, she's a high-profile professional in her town. Everybody knows her. If she needs help, I'm more than happy to help her and get her, you know, up and running again. No major decisions in the first year when you're going through divorce or death of a spouse, because you're not yourself yet. But as time goes on, I think she'll find out that life will get much, much better, and that's what I'll be telling her, even though she won't probably believe me at first. Remember that story a couple of weeks ago when I told you I had to yell at the Fidelity kid on the line to get my client's 401k RMD done? He had left it at his own engineering firm, and they couldn't get it together with the administrator at the firm versus Fidelity, and they had an April 1st deadline. Well, he just sent me an email thanking me and his buddy at the old firm because he just got his RMD check in the mail before the deadline of 4/1/19. So, the moral of the story is, if you need me to yell at anybody, just let me know. I'm more happy to yell at someone for you. No, just kidding. But I'm very happy for him that we pulled it all together and got it done for him. You know, during this oil collapse, and the oil's been down in the bear markets now since 2013. Okay, since it's been 5-6 years, it's been a bear market. And I've been buying the pipeline ETFs for income, and I've been buying the oil gas ETFs for appreciation. And I'm a little early, and I'll admit it. But I'll tell you right now, when it decides to go, it's going to go fast, and you won't be able to position it. So pay attention, kids. And chances are, if you give me money, I'm going to put a little bit in your portfolios, because sometimes what I static this year zooms up next year. And if you don't believe me, let's talk about the marijuana ETF, which has gotten very high. I've been waiting to say that, because the marijuana ETF was down in the doldrums in December, had gotten killed, and it's up almost 60%. So everybody's high. Yay. Anyway, I'm more of a seller than a buyer here, but just be aware that every dog has its day, and now that's way up, and everybody wants to buy it. I'm like, hey, just be careful here. Yeah, you don't want to buy it too high, okay? Gold and silver ETFs are worth a look right now because Washington can't seem to slow down their spending. The dollar's been very strong because the other governments overseas are in worse shape than we are. So as a relative person in the beauty pageant, we're looking prettier than the other guys. But eventually, if this continues, this overspending, the dollar will eventually weaken. If this happens, gold and silver ETFs will probably wake up, okay? So, the other thing I want to talk about, Boeing. Boeing's been in the news a lot because they seem to have a problem with their jets, or at least everyone says so, although Southwest, which I'm flying on in a couple weeks, doesn't seem to agree. But the stock went down, but you have to watch it very closely because they have excellent prospects. I mean, they're sold out for the next 7, 8, 9 years. You can't go anywhere else. So it's tough to know when to buy it, but you got to watch it. And we have Sam from Westerly on the line. Hello there, Sam.
Good morning, Radio Free New England.
How are you, my friend?
Better than I deserve.
So how's the number one tenured EB employee doing today?
Still breathing.
Oh, that's good. What's on your mind?
You were talking about keeping your friends close.
Yes.
How does keeping your enemies closer sound?
That's the old Sicilian expression, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. You have anybody in mind?
Well, they must be keeping a secret.
Hey, how about that guy in Staten Island that got shot up, huh? Did you hear about that guy?
What can I say?
Yeah.
Hey, well, let's put it this way. You know, if you're going out killing people, you know, you're committing mortal sins, you know, and you're doomed to hell.
That's right.
But if someone murders you, then you're going straight to heaven.
I don't know. I guess if you ask forgiveness on the street while you're bleeding out, maybe that's the case. Anything else on your mind, Sam?
Yeah, you were just talking about marijuana.
Yes.
You know, I've been reading some articles lately and hearing some people talking, you know, there's more and more evidence showing up that there's violence and... what else I wanted to say? Psychosis is happening more and more with these people who've been doing this stuff.
Yeah, well, you know what? If you smoke 16 hours a day, I'm sure you can get that way.
Yeah.
But most people just get the munchies, though.
I've never partaken of it.
I don't know, Sam. It might be legal soon in Rhode Island.
It doesn't make any difference. It still wouldn't tempt me.
Your governor doesn't want all that income going up to Massachusetts, you know.
Yeah. How can I I don't know if I can characterize that yet, but I don't know. Well, that's for them, all them Illuminati. You know?
Thanks for calling, Sam. Appreciate it. All bye-bye. Right, take care, brother. All righty, so Sam on marijuana. Anyway, we were talking about Boeing. Anyway, they got beat up, but you got to watch it because they are, you know, they're not going anywhere. Remember Chipotle? The stock went down from 400 or 500 down to 180. And remember, they're, you know, people were getting sick, and there were horrible headlines for 2 years. You know where the stock is right now, guys? It's close to like 680 from 180. So Chipotle didn't go anywhere. Well, things sure did slow down for them for a while. Remember AutoZone? You know, AutoZones are everywhere. You know, they'll put on your wipers for you and everything else. Well, 3 or 4 years ago, maybe 2 or 3 years ago, Amazon announced they were going to sell auto parts. So AutoZone immediately goes from 800 down to 500 in panic selling, right? So for a year or two, it just kind of bounced around. You know where AutoZone is right now? Close to 1,000. So a lot of times you get these really good quality franchises that get the, you know what, pounded out of them. Keep an eye out. Sometimes you got to wait 2 or 3 years. So I'm not making recommendations, but the point is when quality companies get knocked down, it pays to be very patient and wait. Sometimes it's bad management of a great company like GE. And the new guy comes in, pay very close attention. It may take a year or two for GE, this guy, to figure it out, but eventually he will. Thanks for listening to Retirement Life Investing Show. If you'd like my Retirement 10 Commandments or my 10 Commandments on Becoming a Millionaire, go to www.obrienretire.com. Back in a few. Retirement Life and Investing Show with Dennis O'Brien, president of O'Brien Retirement in Mystic, Connecticut. Hope everybody's doing well. I heard an interesting story, Chris, last week on a last will story. It was something else. You want to hear it? Yeah, it's unbelievable. You know, his nurse, his wife, and his daughter, and his two sons were all with him. Doug asked for two witnesses to be present and a camcorder to be placed to record his last wishes. When all is ready, he begins to speak. My son, Bernie, I want you to take the Ocean Reef houses. My daughter, Sybil, you take the apartments between mile markers 100 and Tavernier. My son, Jamie, I want you to take the offices over by the Marathon Government Center. And Sarah, my dear wife, please take all the residential buildings on the base side of Blackwater Sound. The nurse and witnesses were blown away as they did not realize his extensive holdings. And as Doug slips away, the nurse says, Mrs. Pender, Your husband must have been such a hardworking man to have accumulated all this property. His wife replies, oh, the nitwit had a paper route. Oh, so bad. That is so bad. I know. Anyway, a new client once told me that I'm not very pushy. I laughed because I knew what he meant. He has a monthly draw coming out on April 1st, and we had done all the paperwork to transfer his accounts. But I said I'd hold all the transfer paperwork till April 2nd because the transfer might interfere with his monthly check. He looked at me with an agreeing nod. Planning ahead really does work because if you pull the assets out and transfer them over and you can't get the 401 check set up on time because I'm going on a cruise, it pays just to wait and hold the paperwork for a week or two. There's nothing wrong with that. We put a new playpen in the living room, and I'm having deja vu all over again. Little baby Harper, my granddaughter, is now officially visiting Grandma and Grandpa. Yahoo! You know, talking about all of you that come in the office and looking to make a change, most of the time you come in because you've been ignored and left behind with products sold to you many years ago. Some of you come in from big firms in the city, which had multiple advisors come and go. Some of you just left too much money in the bank because you didn't know how to invest in a conservative income way. And some of you are going through transitions, which include death of a spouse, divorce, or even retiring and wondering, what the heck do you do now? And is your spouse going to be annoyed with you around all the time? And that's a big change for both of you. And you know, you want to talk about it and set up a schedule, I think, is the best thing, best way to handle it. And some of you I've even met have great inherited wealth and do a great job managing it in your families while giving back to your communities. And my hats are off to you because everybody thinks, oh, they have it made. But it's a different type of responsibilities and a skill set that necessarily isn't always talked about beforehand, and they're not prepared for it. And my hat's off to you that successfully handled that transition because it is not easy. Probate Judge Keppel spoke at the Eastern Connecticut Estate Tax Planning Group last week, and he remarked that despite what you hear about fighting over inheritances, most of the cases he sees are about family and friends stepping up to care for loved ones to keep them out of facilities. And it was kind of like, you know, extremely pleasantly surprised because it had been my experience also that, yeah, there's some fighting when it comes to money, and there's always usually one problem person that loves the mom and dad didn't love me as much as they love you, and then they carried it over. You know, you get that silly stuff. But most of the time I see people pulling together trying to help a loved one, and Judge Keppel kind of confirmed that. He also pointed out the state wants to cut the probate court's funding, but the state should be reminded that the conservatorships that he sets up save the state hundreds of millions of dollars a year. The probate judges, by setting up these conservatorships to help people stay in their homes or stay in their family or friends' homes, literally saves the state hundreds of millions of dollars throughout the probate system in Title 19 funding. If the probate court sent everyone destitute to a nursing home instead of home-based care, so support your probate courts. They give a very good bang for the buck. And I just want to make people aware of that because, you know, that's kind of a big thing, a big deal. So just be aware of that and everything else. And we have Dave in East Lyme. Hi, Dave. How are you?
Good, Dennis. I called you last week. I'm a retired CPA. Been there for 34 years.
Yep.
And great conversation last week on, you know, all the topics. But this week, I'm coming across this, and I don't think people understand the taxability of their Social Security. Maybe this is a question for a tax person, but, you know, there's a very little threshold for the federal government to have your Social Security taxed at 85%.
Right.
And the state has an exemption, which makes Social Security not as taxable for the state.
Right.
Now, that's on the chopping block, I understand.
Right. Yeah. And nobody knows what's going to happen with that. But
right.
But they like to sneak things through, don't they?
Oh, they do. And, you know, people understand, and you do, is your Social Security, we have a little threshold. You add up half your Social Security, your other income, and you might not make the threshold. But
right.
Once you bring your taxable IRA in, that's what triggers it.
Oh.
You know, in most cases. If you had a Roth, you're fine.
Right.
You have a traditional taxable, it comes in, and it kicks your butt.
That's
and
right.
I'm worried about, because I already planned out my state based on the exemption I did on my tax planning, because that's what I do
right.
myself, and realizing, oh, boy, they're going to kick my butt here if they pass that for the state and get rid of my that exemption for Social Security. So
now, these
the taxability
and exemptions always come in when you take Social Security early.
Yes.
So if you take it at 62, if your full retirement age is 66 to 67, depending on your birth year,
yes.
That does not come into play. So it's
okay.
Only the people that are taking it early that they penalize. Once you get to full retirement age, that goes away, and they don't double tax it. That's
okay.
My understanding of it. And so
all right.
So it's I don't know how much that helps. A lot of people take it early. They estimate
it. I just think that, you know, just to bring it out to the people that they're very aware of that, be very careful. People don't, at least in my life, they don't anticipate taxability or put that in their financial plan, that they're going to be taxed. They don't see it coming. Then they get hit with it and go, oh, boy, that changed my whole plan for retirement.
Well, yes, yes. It's a big, big deal. It's a big, big deal. Now, are you retired now as a CPA?
Yeah, I was a CPA for 34 years, but most of my career I was a CFO for companies.
Oh, that's right.
I have a master's in tax, so I have a clue.
Yeah, so you're really paying attention
to this. I'm sitting on the sidelines right now thinking what to do and who to help.
Yeah, right, right. Well, I'd love to have lunch with you sometime just to get some background from you, because sometimes I have a question and I'm head scratching, and it'd be nice to have someone like you to talk to.
That would be great.
Yeah.
I would absolutely like to do that. Thank you so much for the show.
Okay, thanks so much. Thanks for calling.
Yep.
Yeah, it's an interesting question because up to 85% of the income from Social Security, if you take it early, if you're still earning a lot, and I don't mean a lot, I think it's 42 or 46,000. I got to go back and look. But if you're over that income, over 62, and you decide to take Social Security, they will count 85% of your Social Security as income and then tax you on that. And that could bump you up to a higher level. And the state also has exemptions there that they might be sneaking away. That's what Doug, that's what Dave's talking about in East Lyme. So he's paying attention a lot closer than anybody else. So, and he's running the numbers for himself, and he just wanted to call in part. Put that out, and I really appreciate it, Dave. Thanks so much. And Dave, go to my website, send me an email, and I'd love to sit down and chat with you because I like to talk to people that are smarter than myself, especially in certain areas, which I can't keep up with the tax law. I just can't. I have enough knowledge to help 90% of the people out there a little bit, but only because I can send them to the right person. So that's a big deal. So just going back to the probate courts for a second. They're trying to cut their funding. It's pretty dumb because the conservatorships they set up help keep people out of the nursing homes and the Title 19, which, as you know, at $6,000-$8,000 a month, and we talked to Wade a couple of weeks ago and Michelle last week, you know, it's a big number in the budget every year for the state taking care of people and whatnot. And so it's very, very important. So, you know, if you ever have a question on anything, you want to reach out. If I don't know the answer, chances are I know somebody that does. And so the key thing is I try to get you to the right person. And sometimes it's just a matter of coordinating things and listening and then finding out what the main issue is. Fellow's coming in next week, and he just basically had some grandchildren, and he wants to start automatic investing for them. And I think that's absolutely fantastic what he wants to do. I've known him for 30 years, a great guy, and I'm looking forward. I also want to offer condolences to the Wakeman family who lost Seth and Joanna to a horrible accident outside Latitude 41 on Route 27 last week. Seth was very kind to me when I visited the Mystic Rotary to give a speech last year. He was a very kind man. And Joanna, who I'd never met, everybody's talked about her, said she was just wonderful, and they were a wonderful couple. Please forgive the lady that hit them. God help her. And we should all pray because that lady also is going through hell, and I hope there's forgiveness in the hearts of the people affected because, you know, criticizing is easy. Forgiveness is very, very hard, and I work on it every day. I work on forgiveness every day because we all need to forgive someone. And someone needs to forgive us. But in any case, I hope everyone has a wonderful week. I looked out the next 10 days. I see a lot of sun. I don't see a lot of rain. And I pulled my metal poles out of the driveway area so the snowman, it can't come anymore. The plow guy can't come anymore. So that's my reason for optimism. And so I hope everybody has a great week. We'll see you next week. And stay well. And if you have any questions, comments, concerns, go to my website and contact me at www.obrienretired.com. And thanks again for listening. Take care now. Bye-bye.